KALW.
My experience with the police were they were the person who pulled my father over, who was a doctor, and they treated him like a drug dealer.
Today, we're considering the relationship between police and people of color.
I don't have four or five other cop cars pulling up before they pull me out the car. They're probably saying to me, show us your identification. And the other, they're saying, show us your hands.
One Bay Area athlete sacrificed his career by demanding change before today's unrest. Colin Kaepernick.
I said from the beginning I was against oppression. I was against the system of oppression. I'm not going to show support for that system.
Race, protest, respect, and America. This is Kaepernick, the original documentary from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. The country is reeling after a black man, George Floyd, was killed by white police officer Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. People in cities around the world, including here in the Bay Area, marched in protest. LeBron James summed up the feelings of many on Instagram. He posted two photos. On the left, Chauvin kneeling on Floyd's neck. On the right, Colin Kaepernick, a San Francisco 49er who kneeled to protest police brutality. And the Post says this is why. In 2016, Kaepernick became an iconic example of a divided America. The star quarterback, just a few years removed from a Super Bowl appearance, made a subtle statement of defiance during a preseason game. He knelt during the singing of the national anthem. When asked about the move, he said it was a protest against police brutalizing people of color in the United States.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust, people aren't being held accountable for, and that's something that needs to change. That's something that, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all, and it's not happening for all right now.
His protest started a conversation across the country about what it means to respect the national anthem. And that's what we're taking on today. Colin Kaepernick no longer plays for the San Francisco 49ers. In fact, he doesn't play pro football at all. Many people believe he was blackballed from the NFL because of his demonstrations. He filed a grievance and made a financial settlement with the league in 2019. But Kaepernick's legacy continues. He's embraced his role as a spokesman. He runs an organization called Know Your Rights Camp, which reportedly plans to provide legal representation to arrested protesters in Minneapolis. Mainly, Know Your Rights Camps are designed for underprivileged kids, and they're inspired in part by the Black Panther Party. Kaepernick's run them in 8 cities. His first took place in Oakland, where more than 100 people learned about education, finances, physical fitness, and how to face oppression.
From top to bottom, it was something myself, my woman, our friends, we came together, we put it together as far as curriculum, the event, everything. So, we wanted to make sure it was something that was very grassroots, that was true to what we believed, and the message wasn't, skewed or misrepresented or manipulated by a corporation that we had to stand behind.
But then there's this. Kaepernick chose not to vote in the presidential election. In fact, it turns out he wasn't even registered to vote. That prompted a backlash from previous supporters, like commentator Stephen A. Smith on ESPN's First Take.
He absolutely betrayed his cause. As far as I'm concerned, Colin Kaepernick is absolutely irrelevant. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to hear from him again. I don't want to hear a damn word about anything that he has to say about our nation, the issues that we have, racial injustices, needing change, etc., etc. He comes across as a flaming hypocrite.
Kaepernick's abstention even prompted a joke from comedian Dave Chappelle during his opening monologue for NBC's Saturday Night Live.
So I'm staying out of it. It's going to take a knee like Kaepernick and let the whites figure this out amongst themselves.
After the election, Kaepernick was asked about not voting.
I think it would be hypocritical for me to vote. I said from the beginning I was against oppression. I was against the system of oppression. I'm not going to show support for that system. And to me, the oppressor isn't going to allow you to vote your way out of your oppression.
Kaepernick has invoked Malcolm X many times over the last few months. And Malcolm X's philosophies were complicated. You can hear that in one of the speeches he's best known for, made in 1964. It's called The Ballot or the Bullet. Malcolm X thought the Republican candidate for president, Barry Goldwater, was racist. He called him a wolf, an obvious threat. But Malcolm X was also frustrated with the policies of the Democratic Party under President Lyndon Johnson. He called Johnson a fox, a sneaky enemy. Whether by the fox or the wolf, Malcolm X said, black people would get eaten.
You can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years, and all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last, because you're a chump.
Still, Malcolm X said it was important to be involved politically.
We must understand the politics of our community, and we must know what politics is supposed to produce. We must know what part politics play in our lives. And until we become politically mature, we will always be misled, led astray, or deceived, or maneuvered into supporting someone politically who doesn't have the good of our community at heart.
Those are the words of Malcolm X speaking in Detroit, Michigan during a presidential campaign just over half a century ago. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Once Colin Kaepernick's protests of the national anthem were publicized, others began to demonstrate as well. Professional football players, other pro athletes, and high school students.
Are you ready for us? For some NHS football!
A few weeks after Kaepernick's initial protest, football players from Mission High School in San Francisco were headed to a game in Redwood City. They were led by San Francisco Chronicle Player of the Year, Niame Harris, a 17-year-old senior quarterback from Bayview.
We was talking about it on the bus with each other, and we was talking about what Kaepernick did a couple games before. And right before the national anthem came on, we were coming back from the coin toss. And we tell everybody to take a knee, and we're going to take a knee for the rights of the United States. And when I took a knee and everyone else took a knee, I felt that I was a big leader, and I felt like I was doing something right.
Everybody followed his lead, except one player. Kicker Duncan Lau stood behind his teammates as they knelt during the national anthem, and he held his fist in the air. He respected the protest of his football family, but he also wanted to honor his grandfather.
He was a colonel in World War II, and I mean, he risked his life for the anthem, for the flag, and he lost plenty of friends and family to it too, as well. It's not supposed to be disrespectful towards anybody, but it's supposed to be more supportive and constructive towards both sides. I mean, that's why I raised the fist as well, just to show that I was both sides of my family.
The impromptu demonstration took head coach Greg Hill by surprise. He says he supported his team, but he himself stayed standing.
I have uncles who have Purple Hearts in the military from when they were in the armed forces. So I'm supporting my team and what they do. And at the same time, I stand out of respect.
The team's protest drew national media attention. Kicker Duncan Lau says he and his teammates received praise and criticism.
There's a lot of racist comments, sexist comments. There's a lot of using hateful words and that I'm not going to say on the press, but it's just a lot of hate that we shouldn't see in our country because we're supposed to be one people. But the reason we kneel is because we're not one people right now. We're just two separate sides.
Thank you. in East Oakland, Ed Washington is the head football coach of another school, Castlemont High. He got a call one day from Kaepernick's manager. The NFL quarterback heard that the players had held their own protest, laying down during the national anthem, and he wanted to meet with them. So he did. You can hear him talking with the students in this cell phone video.
I see your courage, your confidence, and that's something that you have to be able to speak into each other as well. When you talk to him with confidence. Speak confidence into him. You're going to play great today. You're going to be the best player out there. And not just the best player on the field, you're going to be the best player when you walk off that field and into the real world.
Coach Washington says the students were
stunned. They were stunned, man. They were stunned and they were excited and they were happy.
I had to come support y'all because the same way y'all took a stand and stood with me, I had to come out here and stand with y'all. So I appreciate what y'all did. I love y'all. Y'all my brothers. I'm here with you.
Kaepernick's contact with the team didn't end with that visit. Coach Washington.
Kaepernick, and it's just between a, I mean, I'll put it out there. Kaepernick buys us pregame meals every week. And he buys postgame meals just to get these kids fed and to help me out because he really appreciate what we're doing. He invited us down to the little function he threw downtown. And, man, it's just a beautiful thing, man. When he said he was our brother, he was their brother, he meant that. And he meant that because he's showing that. We got people from Oakland won't even come over here to our school. And we in probably the roughest part of Oakland. And none of people won't even show up, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, on a got that platform. So for him to do that and take a stand, that was real big and that was powerful.
Thanks to KALW's Bowen Wang for that recording. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. It's not only football players protesting the national anthem. Members of the Oakland Unified School District Honors Band also discussed ways to take part. The band is made up of middle and high school students, with a performance at the Oakland Coliseum coming up about a month after Kaepernick's first protests. They considered their role in the conversation about racial discrimination and patriotism. One of the 150 students approached music teacher Ted Allen.
We had one student who said that they weren't going to do the event for political reasons. They didn't want to play the national anthem at all or participate. And so then I realized we had an issue that we had to deal with.
We talked about the lyrics. We talked about, you know, the fifth verse that talks about slavery. We talked about symbolism of the flag and can one have conflicting feelings about one's country and still show patriotism by performing or standing or kneeling.
We discuss it in classes, not just our jazz band, but throughout other classes at our school. And before we played, we were also notified by the band director.
Our teacher told us that if we wanted to, we can kneel out of solidarity.
To respond to Kaepernick and also support him in his endeavors in fighting systemic racism.
As we were warming up and we knew that this was going to go down at the event and there were parents around at the warm-up who dropped their children off and were watching how things were going. They were excited and were very supportive of the idea. So it wasn't just the teachers, it wasn't just the students, it's coming out of the entire community.
I walked into the field and felt proud of myself for something that I was doing good and right. And I just felt inspired by other people clapping and cheering for us that was just there to watch us and the Ace game, and it felt inspiring.
Well, when they came up with the idea of us taking a kneel, I kind of felt like, as an African American, that I should, knowing that that could be anyone in my family, you know, dying because of police brutality.
You know, standing there and watching this and being part of it, I was actually tearing up watching these kids express themselves.
As we played Land of the Free, those who wanted to kneel down the crowd applauded, and we finished the end of the song like that. I chose to kneel.
It was a moment to be involved.
So the next day after I kneeled, my mom told me, like, she interrogated me kind of. She's like, why did you kneel? And, like, she's like, it doesn't really affect you. I don't know why you did it. And I was like, well, I mean, we all have to stand up for someone, right? Like, if we don't do it, then who's going to do it?
A lot of people thought that we were dishonoring our country by kneeling and, like, not being part of it.
With some of my friends, we were looking on YouTube about it, and we found some news channels which... some of it was negative, a lot of it was negative actually, and only a little bit was positive, and a lot of it entailed the video, the title saying, Oakland Unified Honor Band shames themselves.
Well, Oakland High School has now disgraced themselves during the national anthem at a recent A's game. Black high school and middle school children in the Oakland Unified School District's Honor Band took a knee during the national anthem at the Oakland A's game this week.
A lot of those comments on Facebook and other websites were that we don't really know what's happening in the world and we can't understand. But really, I think it's the exact opposite. We're trying to make our country a better place.
A better place so people can feel comfortable where they stand and with their differences.
I was just thinking about how everybody always says, especially like during the elections and things, how kids are the future. And so I was thinking about how for the future we could make a difference starting now.
If we just stand up for ourselves and no one else, then there's going to be no one else to stand up for us.
It shows that the Oakland kids are aware of what's happening, and we just, they're not afraid to express their opinions. And I mean, I think it was a good message to Oakland.
Because it wasn't a small thing to do. Either, whichever way people chose to act, kneeling or not kneeling, it took a lot of personal reflection. And talking before and after has just made me feel more like I know what my values are and I know what I'm willing to stand up for.
That piece was produced by KALW's Jeremy Jew. It includes the voices of Ted Allen, Daisy Amador, Emily Anzora, Quinn Flannery, Cesar Hernandez, Helena Jack, Tarashi Lee, Charlie Martindale, Daniel Martinez, Serena McIntosh, Olivia Modi, Ayodine Oludayu, Carson Paul, and Zach Pitt-Smith from Oakland Technical High School and Edna Brewer Middle School. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The national anthem protests also affected another group of people, inmates at San Quentin State Prison. For some of their thoughts, we turn to San Quentin Radio.
San Quentin Radio, bringing you informative educational stories from the inside out.
In order to make something grow, you got to own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden, you heard this.
More than two-thirds of inmates in California state prisons are Latino or African American, according to the most recent census. More than 1,000 military veterans are incarcerated annually, and all of them have dealt with police officers. San Quentin radio reporter Lewis A. Scott talked to a number of inmates to get a sense for what they think about protesting during the national anthem.
My name is Charles David Henry. I'm in prison for an attempted murder on a Long Beach police officer. I've been in prison for 12 years. I was in the United States Air Force Security Service for 3 years, 11 months, and 13 days.
My name is Emil DeWeaver. When I was 18 years old, I murdered a man and I attempted to murder a witness. I've been in prison for the past 20 years.
My name is Gary Cooper. I served in the Marine Corps from 1966 to 70, a combat veteran, Vietnam 66 to 68.
My name is Angelo Mecchi. I've been in prison for 21 years. I committed the offense of residential burglary.
Brian Shipp. I've been in prison now for 36 years on a first term
of kidnap for robbery.
My name's Craig Johnson, 60 years old. I've been incarcerated for 37 years for second-degree murder. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy, serving from 1973 to 1979.
Kaepernick brought an issue to the public that apparently is as old as the cotton fields. People need to be aware of the fact that things haven't changed since the existence of the Constitution. Black men, black women, black families, inner cities are still deprived. And unfortunately, America has not addressed the issue.
My experience with the police, where they were the person who pulled my father over, who was a doctor, and they treated him like a drug dealer. And he would get back in the car, and he'd be very humiliated, and he'd be very angry. And sometimes he would talk about how it felt to be treated like that in front of his sons.
I don't have four or five other cop cars pulling up before they pull me out the car, you know. And they're probably saying to me, show us your identification. And the other, they're saying, you know, show us your hands.
I do think it is a statement to the U.S., taken by citizens of the U.S., understanding that it's my right to protest the actions of my government. And that's why the U.S. is supposed to be a great country, because you can do that.
Now that I'm aware about the story behind the national anthem, I have a change of view of my feelings about them kneeling. You know, I never realized Francis Scott Key was a slave owner. They nitpicked the parts they wanted in it so they wouldn't defend anybody later on in years.
Those who have decided to take a knee or hold up their fist during the national anthem, in my opinion, is showing disrespect for those who've served this country or who are currently serving this country.
Because it's, you know, the land of the free, home of the brave, but it's the land of the free because of the brave.
I understand about the movement going on about Colin Kaepernick. The problem I have with it is that there's other ways you can argue the point, you know, but not disrespecting the country.
Fortunately, it's those of us who've served this country and under those colors that have given the people the right to do that.
Do I think this is disrespectful to people that served in the military? No. Again, I'm a United States Air Force veteran, and this would not at all cause me a problem because of the fact that people are not acknowledging or accepting the responsibility of standing during the national anthem.
I don't feel this is disrespectful. Like the flag, I mean, the only disrespectful to the flag I see is whenever you burn it.
I don't want to hear complaints, you know, bring a solution. You know, because if you're just complaining, then you're just making noise. At least bring something to the table to work with.
Put homage and respect back into the neighborhoods by having community block grants and community block dollars put back in place in the inner cities. Too much attention has been put into building the downtowns of major cities. I think in order for us to bring more recognition to the issue that Colin Kaepernick is trying to manifest, pretty much deals with the fact that somebody of that status had to step up and do something more than just protest.
I know radio probably ain't gonna play this.
That piece was produced by Lewis A. Scott from San Quentin Radio. It's a collaboration between incarcerated men and the staff at KLW News. Stories are approved for broadcast by Lieutenant Sam Robinson.
Home of the brave and free.
It's America.
Free just to murder me.
Land of the handgun.
Land of the beautiful.
Home of the shotgun.
Cursed by the hate we throw.
You're dead if you ain't got one.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Precious Green, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Sarah Lai Sterland. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.